Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please join me as we begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549, the doxology. Is hymn number 723. Whoever loves me will obey my message. My Father will love him, and my Father and I will come to him and live with him. Whoever does not love me does not obey my words. The message you have heard is not mine, but comes from the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am still with you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my own peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world does. Do not be afraid and do not be upset. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 218, O Come, Emmanuel. 218, O Come, Emmanuel. And as we sing our Christmas songs, we don't sing them very often, usually only once a year, so we'll do our best to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Joining me in singing that hymn. I appreciate it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God, we come before you this morning as an act of worship. Our hearts are open, our minds are open, our lives are open to everything that you have in this worship time, God, and we'd ask that you would bless it. And Lord, part of that worship is the time that we can come together with the needs and requests that we have in our lives, and God, we are doing so right now. Lord, we would ask that you would hear our needs, the challenges that we are facing, the concerns that we have, and that your Holy Spirit would say those things that many times our words cannot just say, but we can only express them in terms of our feelings, in terms of our thoughts. And God, we lay those things before you right now. And God, you remind us again and again to pray for others, and Lord, we are doing that right now as well as part of our worship. We think of family members and friends. We think of patients throughout this medical center, the staff that are working today, and the family that will be visiting. And Lord, we too lift up those requests that they have in their lives. Many unspoken, but yet God, you know what they are. And in the same way, we would ask that the Spirit of God would make those utterances to you in the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you would hear what they need to have truly in their lives. And God, we are so thankful that you've given us this chapel to come and worship you. And we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me. Our next hymn is number 264, We Three Kings of Orion Are. 264, We Three Kings of Orient Are.
Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God.
Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the appointed moment, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I am just so grateful for this wonderful time of worship that we can have. Lord, I am so thankful for the hymns that we have sung, just to bring honor to the season, but Lord, also to bring honor to this time of worship, as we just pause and think of you and all the sacrifices that you have made for us that begin with your birth. And Lord, I would just ask that you would help me say those things that we all need to hear so that we can draw closer to you. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. You know, a couple of times before we have talked about reconciliation, but in a different way. We focused on the forgiveness part of reconciliation. And that how in that reconciliation that we have to have forgiveness and we have to add trust if there is a valued relationship in which we want to be a part of, then reconciliation can occur. Only through forgiveness and trust can we have reconciliation. The scriptures remind us that you and I, together, collectively, have a body of believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that once we were ungodly. That once we were the enemies of God. But that you and I, because of the fact that we have asked Jesus Christ to be a part of our lives, that we are no longer the ungodly. That we are no longer enemies of God. And because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, that we have received that reconciliation, which means that God has forgiven you and I of our sins. God has forgiven us of all the wrongs that we have done. And it's not just the wrongs in the past. It is the wrongs in the present, and it is the wrongs in the future that you and I will do. And I don't know about you, but I can guarantee you that for myself, I will commit wrongs going forward in my life. And God has told us and me through the scriptures that those things have been forgiven already in advance. Because you and I are no longer a foreigner or an alien before God. We have been reconciled to him. We have been made whole. We have been made complete. But yet we seem to have questions about that completeness. It seems that at times that we are enemies of God because of our conduct, because of our actions. The things that not only that we do, but the things that we think. At times we feel that not only is our conduct ungodly, but many times we feel alienated from God in terms of being enemies of God. The scriptures remind us that that is not the case. And we are reassured that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. And so that reconciliation has been made complete in us, not just because of the forgiveness, but because of the trust that God has given you and I, because he values so much the relationship with you and with me, that reconciliation is there for us. And we need to understand that. We need to take it and we need to make it a part of our lives. We need to incorporate it in our lives. We need to understand that within that reconciliation, that you and I are not alienate in terms of alienation, in terms of being foreigners, in terms of the presence of God, but that you and I, because of the guarantees that God has given us, that we are part of his kingdom, and we are the citizens of that kingdom that is in Christ. We have the full rights of citizenship. We are not foreigners, we are not alien. In fact, God reminds us again and again that we are members of his own personal household, that we are the sons and daughters of God. It doesn't get any closer than that in terms of the relationship that God wants us to have with each and every one of us. So we are not helpless. In our own lives, as though it may seem at times that we just don't have the faith and the strength to carry out certain things that God wants us to do, we are not helpless. God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God gives us each other, and that you and I are not helpless in our circumstances because we have access to the household of God. We have access to the power of God, and there is nothing there that you and I can be separated from, because God loves us and he reminds us that we have received that reconciliation, that you and I are not in the outside looking in. We are on the inside wanting and desiring to go out to do the things that God has wanted us to do. Understanding those things, understanding what that means to have the will of God working on our lives, to carry up the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And yes, part of that is the physical things that we do for each other. The things in terms of the helps that we can provide to one another. But there's also a spiritual aspect of it that I think many times I know that I either overlook intentionally or I don't practice it the way that I should. And that is believing that God can work miracles in people's lives. Do we believe that? Do I believe that? Do you believe that? And part of that reconciliation process is to understand that you and I are not helpless anymore. That God can work miracles in your life and in my life. But yet, in my experience, there have been times when I have been so disappointed that I did not have the miracle that I wanted it to have. The miracle in which I had that expectation. Has anyone else had that same experience? God, I was praying for something to happen. I believed something was going to happen. But God, it did not happen the way that I wanted it to happen. So therefore, God, I must take my miracles list and no longer have it there because, God, you did not respond to my prayers the way that I wanted you to respond. And so therefore, a miracle didn't happen in my life in that particular situation, and miracles no longer exist. Has anyone else experienced that? So what do we do with that? What do we do with the apparent disappointment that I have, that perhaps maybe you have, when God has not answered our prayers the way that we wanted them to be answered. But God did not perform the miracle that we wanted God to perform. Are miracles off your list, as they have been off of my list, because of my understanding of God's poor performance? You know, we measure so much in our lives by performance. We have so many different measurements that we use in our regular lives in terms of understanding whether we are making it or whether other people are making it. I'm sure many of you have been in situations where you have either weekly or quarterly or monthly or yearly evaluations where they talk about your job performance. We're in a system where we have grades in which we somehow have to have some way to measure who's better than somebody else, or who's better in their performance, or who's studying better, who's doing their homework. One of the things that we have been doing this week is we have been watching some of our grandchildren and helping them with their homework, and it's been Lynn helping them more than me. But I've been observing the different performance and the different expectations that has been put upon them by the school system, and those things are good things. I'm not saying that having a measurement or having a performance goal to go by in terms of how you're achieving and are you learning and are you understanding and are you comprehending, I'm not being negative about all those things. I'm talking about the fact that in our relationship with God that we use a worldly standard to measure God's performance in our lives. And I want to suggest to you that maybe we evaluate that as to whether we can measure God's performance at all about any circumstance that we have in our lives. Because what is a miracle? And that's something that I'm going to be preaching on as I look forward to the different things that I'm going to be talking about in the chapel this coming year. Is what is a miracle, and how do we define that? We talk about the birth of Jesus Christ seriously in the next couple of weeks, and that truly is a miracle, born of a virgin. Do we believe that? The scriptures tell us that that is important to believe that, to understand that. It is part of our basic belief systems as followers of Jesus Christ. We believe in a miracle in the virgin birth of Christ. So if you're celebrating Christmas, and if you look at the nativity scene behind us, and if you accept it by faith, understanding that that had to take place in the process of what God planned for his son, Jesus Christ, then a miracle has happened in your life because of that birth and because of that process and because of that message. So you do believe in a miracle then, after all. You do see a miracle being practiced in your life because you accept it by faith. Do you or do you not? And as we have expressed in the scriptures already this morning, understanding what Christ has done for us on the cross and the message of reconciliation for each and every one of us, and that you and I are no longer ungodly, and you and I are no longer enemies of God, and that Christ did that for all of us. He did that for me, and I don't have to go very far. I just have to look at me and say, with God in my life, because of believing in his son, Jesus Christ, that he has performed a miracle in my life. And I've said this before, and I will say it again, if I had not had Christ in my life, that I would either be dead or I would be in prison. Because that is the difference of what Christ has been in my life. So you see, I don't have to look very far for a miracle. I just have to look to myself. But yet I overlook it. I don't see it. I don't take the time to see the miracles that God has performed in my life on a regular basis. For you see, the real important ones that I thought God was going to do for me didn't happen. And so therefore, the miracles that do take place in my life are not there. Does that make sense? But God reminds us again and again about all of the miracles that we believe in by faith. And we do so when we practice on a regular basis, but we just don't call it that. We call it something else. We call it a good story. We call it something that makes us feel good. We call it theology. We call it doctrine. We call it covenants. No. Christmas is about a miracle. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe in the virgin birth, if you believe in the Christmas story, then you believe in a miracle. For you see, that's where it all starts for you and I. It's believing in that miracle of Christ's birth. Because Christ came for all. All of us. So none of us would be foreigners. None of us would be alien. None of us would have that sense of alienation, of being separated from God. That all of us would be reconciled to God through the forgiveness that He has given us, through the trust that He has provided, and that all of those things would be incorporated in our lives, that we would be citizens, part of God's household, that we'd be part of the family of God, that we would be part of that miracle. And that's what you and I are supposed to be. That's how you and I are supposed to live out our lives as we have received that reconciliation. For you see, you and I are miracles. And God wants us to live our lives understanding that. So you're a miracle, you're a miracle, you're a miracle, you're a miracle. And He's given me a smile. And because we are the miracles of what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we are to represent that into all things. And then we do those things that God wants us to do. Then we understand God's will for our lives. Maybe not complete, but we get a better picture. We get more puzzles put on that picture as we understand that there are miracles taking place in our lives. That the revelation that God has for each and every one of us begins with Christ's birth. It begins with Christ's birth. It begins with Christ's birth. And then we see that miracle continuing within our own individual lives. Because we take what begins with Christ's birth and we make it a part of our lives. And then we truly see that we are what God wants us to be in all things. Bringing that hope to everyone. Because Christ is for all. He came for all. We need to bring that hope to all. But it comes with us understanding that you and I have been made one with Christ. To His God, to His Father, that you and I have been made one because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the helper that we have with us, the access to the power that God wants us to have to work those things in our lives which are to be miracles. for God to give us that vision and that clearness of purpose that we are all desiring to have, that understanding of peace that we want to have incorporated in our lives, knowing that we have that relationship. So you and I, in the next couple of weeks, as we ponder and we think about the fact about who we are and what our identity is, I just want to reaffirm to you and encourage you. And an encouragement does not mean an expectation, but what it does mean is for you to consider the fact that you are a miracle, I am a miracle, and miracles are there for us every day. God just needs to perform that miracle in me to see those things that we do on a regular basis that identifies with Christ working in our lives, and understanding all of those things that he has for us one step at a time until you and I are made complete in him. And that's another miracle that God is performing and that God will perform in each and every one of our lives. Amen. Let us take a few moments and think about communion. And once again, it truly is another miracle that we do every time we have communion in this chapter. A miracle is taking place, because we are identifying what Christ has done for us on the cross. And we are publicly saying that I want that miracle to be a part of my life. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we are so thankful that you've reminded us all the wonderful things and all the miracles that you perform in our lives, and that you have performed and that you're going to perform. And God, once again, communion is just another part of believing in a miracle that many times we don't see. We just take it for granted. We make it part of a ritual. But God, that miracle of taking communion is an ongoing process, an ongoing revelation that is at work in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that publicly we can just acknowledge that miracle of what your Son has done for us on the cross, and the forgiveness of our sins, the trust that has been added, and the reconciliation that is there for us. Thank you, God, for forgiving us and loving us just the way we are. In Christ's name, amen. Pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and said, "This is my body, which is for you." He gave thanks and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 262, The First Noel. Number 262. Gracious God, we are so thankful for the miracles that we have had today in this chapel. And Lord, we do not take those things for granted that you do every day in our lives that are truly miracles. Help us, God, to be reminded of that fact and look for those things that you're doing for us that are miracles. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.